Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, I appreciate that you're tuning in this week. So my motivational quote is by William Clement Stone, and he says, "Sales are contingent upon the attitude of the salesperson, not the attitude of the prospect." Now, would you agree that for every business, and now that we're in this global economy, sales is truly the key component to success, or it could be the demise of your organization? Yes, other things like the marketing, internal processes, your compliance, manufacturing, all of those operational things, critical too. I get it. The thing is, if your salespeople can't deliver the message effectively and develop that relationship with the decision makers or whoever the buyer is, all the other departments kind of don't matter. So why are people so afraid or perhaps even just ineffective when it comes to that sales conversation? Now, would you be surprised to learn that there is a psychological component to every sales conversation? Now, what if you were able to have the most powerful conversations with your prospects? Do you think that maybe your sales conversations would change? Well, I know I sure do. So stay tuned as my wonderful guest, she has a new book out called, and it's got a very cool title, The Easy Ask, Make More Money Having Simple Sales Conversations. And she shares some quick tips today. She always shares amazing tips to help you improve your sales conversations as soon as today. Now, my guest is a sales and business strategist, professional psychotherapist, speaker and writer, and premier success coach. Business and entrepreneurs hire her to connect, capture, and close business by working with them to sell confidently and with authority. She also helps them with the psychological money dynamics that really can get in the way of financial and business success. Now, as an entrepreneur for over 20 years herself, my guest consults with corporations to enhance team dynamics and to help them understand how a business model, sales and marketing plans all need to align to work together for growth, profit, and sustainability. So please help me welcome my amazing guest, my amazing friend, Lorianne Reeves, to the show. And I want to say, Lori, I think this is our third time, yes?
I think it might even be our fourth time, to tell you the truth. Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited because Lorianne and I have developed this wonderful friendship. We both love sales. That's what we've done for, 100 years. And,
yes.
And you have this new book, and I'm just so proud of you. And I'm excited to share it because I think all of the people – and here's the thing, Lorianne, and I know you know this – I don't care if we're talking to the salespeople today as listeners or leaders of the sales team. This book is going to be a nice go-to for them because, and everyone will see this as we have our discussion, you speak clearly, you give wonderful tips, and the book follows that beautiful flow. So The Easy Ask, Make More Money, Having Those Simple Conversations. And you do. You break it down to simple, stupid. Not that we're stupid, but when we keep things, that KISS rule, right, keep things simple, simple, stupid, I think we're able to function better. So I'm real excited to talk about the book today.
Oh, thank you, and I appreciate you having me on again. You're right, we do have a connection. We do believe that it's okay for everybody to make money as long as we do it with integrity and we're problem solvers with our clients and that they're happy, but that we do it the way we want to do it, at our best self, not at our negative self, which is the problem with sales and why it has a bad rap. People approach it from their fearful self, their bad self, when they think it's all about them, when it's really about the person in front of you or the person on the phone, or even if you're online having a conversation, is about the person you're speaking to.
Always.
And always. And it seems to be, it just seems to be a problem. And the reason it's a problem is it really goes back to culture, Connie. Culture in this country says money doesn't grow on trees, shut the door, money's flowing out. Whatever you grew up with, we have now made money not just an entity for buying goods and services, we have made it an emotional component of our world. And that is the piece that has really tripped up people, whether it's a corporation, because we have individuals working in corporations, or an entrepreneur who is the only one at the beginning responsible for bringing in money. And so we make it emotional, and that is the problem we have with money.
And Lorianne, you know what's so funny? People say, oh, I don't have money issues. We all have money issues. Like,
we
are
all
kidding
do. We all do. We all grew up in a home. We had parents, grandparents, or even if you didn't grow up with your original family, everybody heard something about money. And in this country, we are trained to make money through the middle class way. You go to college, or you get a trade, or you go to the service, the military, you get a job, you save in your 401k, you retire, and you hope it's enough. Oh my gosh, that just doesn't seem to be right. And entrepreneurship's not for everyone, but there are ways for us to think about money that can be a little non-traditional, that can help us get out of the mind and the psychology of thinking money is bad.
And it takes, Lorianne, let's set it up front. It takes effort, guys, but you have to want it. But here's the brilliant thing. It takes effort. But the effort to change your mindset about money and making sales, right? Because we feel guilty if we get paid for our worth. But the thing is, if you get through that mindset and the money does start coming in, you could do more good out
you
in the
can.
World.
You serve more clients.
Yes.
Your family's
yes.
happy. You're happy.
Yes.
Everybody's happy.
Yes.
And it's not that money is everything, but money touches almost everything in this world.
Right.
And you cannot run from the fact that it does.
That's
and until
right.
we change the way we buy goods and services, which is not going to be in our lifetime,
no.
It may take a different form, but it's definitely not going to be in our lifetime. You have to learn to love money and be okay with it.
That's true.
That because it helps you. And it is not, and because we do have people that are not good in the world, we have, and they use money to do evil or manipulate people. People think everyone's like that, and that's what they. I don't want to be that. Well, don't be that. Be the good one.
Well,
that's all you have to do.
And Lorianne, TV, right? The media.
Yes.
They have these corporate conglomerates, and they show how they rip people off to make the dollar. I'm sorry, that is not how I do business. That would make me sick to my stomach. And I would end up having a miserable life. What was the movie with DiCaprio, right?
Yes. Oh, I can't think of the name right now. I know what you're talking about.
He ripped people off and ended up at the end, right? Ending up in jail and whatever. But it's just tragic. You know, Madoff, there's so many stories. So that's why I think we think, you know, money is bad.
Yep.
Money is crooks. If you're rich, you're a crook. It's not.
And that's what the media shows us. That's the unfortunate part. The media shows us the bad, sensational stuff. There's so many good people out in the world, and there are more good people than people ripping us off.
Yeah.
We just don't hear about them.
Yeah.
And because they're quiet, they just do it. And so, but the thing I wanted to kind of pivot to, the reason the title is The Easy Ask, it is that simple. If you know how to approach people and think about it from a service problem solving way. And then we complicate it. All the things we just talked about, that's why we don't make it the easy ask. We make it complicated. So then you never get to an easy ask as, hey, do you want to do business together?
Absolutely.
I can help you.
Yeah,
what's the next step?
We don't set it up. We talked about your book talks about the power of conversation that we have to have. What does that sound like and feel like for you?
Well, this is what it is for me. Even when I was a therapist and had my clinical practice, the way I was trained is we communicate through language. And we are communicating whether offline or online. It's a human interaction. And if we understand conversation and language and how other people communicate, all we have to do is pay attention, and how that shows up in three powerful conversations that I talk about in the book is when we need to ask the right questions. It's always through language, and the book talks a lot about that besides some tips and some processes you can use, but it centers around those three conversations.
Yeah. Now, what's the easy ask? It's right at the beginning of the title, so I have to ask, what's the easy ask?
The easy ask is if you have the first conversation correctly and from a position of problem solving, it's the connecting conversation. If you have the second piece, once you connect with people and you have the right kind of connections, and then you shift over to the problem solving conversation, by the time the person sees that they understand the why they need you and they understand the reasons for it, then the closing conversation becomes the easy ask.
That's right.
The easy ask is the close.
It's so funny. I have my when I started my business almost 19 years ago, uh-huh. I sat there and I thought, why have I been successful in sales? What do I do mm-hmm. so that I could try to replicate, processize it, and teach it, mm-hmm. right? So I sat down and I came up with 7 key steps that I do. And it's funny, the last step, well, follow-up is the last step, but the second to last
right.
step is confirm the sale or confirm the relationship.
Right.
And it's just saying, okay, so sign here. I mean, literally.
Right. That's all it is.
That's all
it is. I ask someone to work with me, so are you ready? Or are you ready to get this going? You ready to sign the contract? That's the easy ask, because you've done
that's right.
the right types of conversations,
yes.
the work, they're right for you. Sometimes they're not right for you,
right.
so you don't get to the easy ask. But if you, here's the big problem with having a connecting conversation. I actually want to make sure I say this, because most people will tell me, I always have a connecting conversation. I have great connection with everybody, but they stop there. They think, as long as we develop a relationship, which relationship building is important, don't get me wrong, because that's what you're doing in the connecting conversation, but they stop there, especially women. They think that's all they have to do. And what they think, if I connect and build a relationship, those people will come to me and ask me for business. It may happen. Sometimes it does. I've had it maybe once or twice. But unless I can show people, right, don't bank on it. And so what happens, they develop low-level connections, and they don't make money in their business. Or the salesperson for the company on the sales team is not bringing in his or her numbers. And so because they're relying on one component, not all the components.
That's right. And it's a lot of moving parts, but you have
it
to
is.
Start somewhere. So start to build the skill in each of those sub skills, so to speak. Then that's how you
absolutely.
Get really good. So that when it's the easy ask, and you just say, "Hey, you ready to get going? Let's sign this. I need 2 forms of ID,
yep.
whatever it is to get going."
What?
Now you mentioned before, position yourself as a problem solver. How
yes.
how do you recommend people do that? Because I agree 100%.
Yeah. Well, that's the second powerful conversation, is actually asking them what they need, and you knowing that you're the expert and you offering what you think they may need, and bridging those two together. Because clients sometimes don't know what they need. That's because you're the problem solver. You're the expert. If this client is right for you, you will see the gaps during the problem solving conversation. You will understand their problem. You will be able to walk them through the conversation and help them go, okay, so you need this, and what does this do? And depending on who you're speaking to, it could be a lot longer. It could be several conversations here. This one usually is the bigger conversation. And you're in that position, you are looking for the gaps for you to solve for them. And that's what you bring towards the end of the conversation is, okay, here's what I hear. Here's what you're telling me you need. Here's what I see the gaps are, and here's how I fit in.
That's exactly right.
I mean, yes.
I think what happens, Lorianne, it's so funny as you were saying that, and this is what I see when I train, you know, my corporate clients.
Yes.
They ask 2 questions, and they think, oh, this is the product. And I think, whoa, stop. Because if
stop.
You can figure, maybe they do need that product. I'm not saying that the employee is wrong.
But they may need something else or something deeper.
They might need a package of whatever the
right.
products or services that are being offered by the organization that might even make a more complete solution.
Yes.
So we're so quick to say, okay, this is what you need. Dig a little deeper,
right,
and you'll find. And I, Lorianne, I don't know if you find this, but I find this with my clients. When you start to expand what options are available, and they think, oh, I do need that. Oh, I do need that. All of a sudden,
yeah, you get a bigger sale.
Well, you get a bigger sale. But even aside from that,
yep,
they look at you now as the go-to person. So they start calling you.
Yes.
I have this situation. What do you think? Right? Instead of you always seeking. So you also talk,
absolutely,
in the book about being the expert.
Yeah.
How do you tell your,
right,
clients to position themselves that way too? Because that's important.
It's very important. So being an expert is knowing that you can get results. And let me just back up on what you were just saying. I'm going to come back to this.
Yeah.
There's a key psychological piece. I want to talk about what you just said about, you know, going deeper and asking that. Here's the problem when they only ask two questions. I saw it even as a therapist. I would train other therapists to become therapists. I was a trainer at one time for that. And they would assess a family or an individual, and they would get to the end. And they would say, oh, that's the problem. But the client is not at the end. The client is still here. So it's only the next question. This is where conversation is so important, the capturing conversation. You hear what they're saying. You ask the next question, not the end question. And you walk them with you. So they feel in partnership and collaboration. And that's where the deeper work starts happening in the deeper conversation. It always goes back to the questioning piece and understanding that you can't jump to the end. You have to walk them through the conversation with,
yeah,
you.
And it's interesting. When I start my training personally, I always,
yeah,
start, I go around the room, everybody introduces themselves,
sure,
where they're from, because everybody doesn't always know everybody in the room. And then I always ask, what do you want to get from today? Make it be selfish. Like, what,
right,
is, when you're in front of that client, what gives you the knot in the stomach? What does that look like? And then I can help you. And this is what people say, I want to get better at sales, or I want to sell this product. And I say, okay, wait, let's talk for a minute, right? This is the beginning,
right,
of the class. You want, mm-hmm, to get better at sales. What component of the sales? Again, where,
yes,
does you do the knot in the stomach? Or they'll,
right,
say to me, I want to get better at selling this product. And I say, mm-hmm, okay, but how about if we can develop skills so that you could get really, really good no matter what the product the customer needs?
Yes.
You've got it. You're part of the solution. So
absolutely.
People look, I think, oftentimes at this big stroke of, I need to get better at sales. Well, what does that mean? Sales, and that's what we're talking about today.
Yes.
Has,
yeah,
all of these sub-skills.
It
let's,
does.
Let's drill
it
into
does.
The sub-skills to develop getting better at sales, right? Having those,
yeah,
sales conversations.
Absolutely. It has structure and strategy. It has energy and movement. It has buyer psychology, seller psychology. It has numbers. And I mean, it just goes down. So many components. And that's where I also think sometimes when we're teaching for sales training, that I love to bring those in as layers so they can understand and not be overwhelmed with the end. Because really, the end is always the easy ask. It always comes down to that if you are doing all those other pieces as well.
That's right. So you talked about the psychology of us,
yeah,
right, the salesperson.
Right.
Talk to me about the psychology of the buyer, of the person that we're speaking to.
Well, the first thing most buyers now, and we've trained them that way, and that's our fault as a general, meaning the general sales arena professionals, because people are like, the first thing is no. It's no. They want to protect themselves. It's no. So the psychology of a buyer always is no right away now, most of the time. Once in a while, you get someone that's really open right up front. So that's where the connection conversation is really important to bring down that barrier. That's when you position yourself in the capturing conversation, as the problem solver conversation. That's what starts melting their no. Oh, I want to listen more. Oh, this person knows what they're talking about. Because when you're having connecting and problem-solving conversations, you're actually showing them your expertise, your problem-solving. They're connecting with you all at the same time. And you are showing them, before you get to showing them the how, or because really in the book and how I feel, you should actually show people the what and the why they need you, so they hire you for the how.
That's exactly right.
And right. So ask the buyer psychologist first. So the first thing you have to do is kind of melt that no. The second thing you have to do is you have to remember that they're selfish and naturally because they're looking what's going to help them. If it's in a corporation, what's going to help them look good, do their job better, look good to their bosses. And you have to kind of think about those things. And a lot of salespeople don't. They think it's just what they can do. And it's the best product in the world, the sliced bread. It's not. The second piece is about understanding that person, where they want to shine in their corporation, or if they're an entrepreneur and you're selling products and services to business owners, what are the results they need now? Because that's what a business owner is looking for if they're not working in a corporation. What can you help me with right now? And so those are all great problem-solving conversations around the buyer psychology.
And I think when we talk about doing this, right, the mm-hmm. buyer psychology and understanding that, that you become a better expert, right, in whatever your topic is. When you become the expert, then you're able to collaborate with mm-hmm. clients and like we collaborate with each other.
Right.
And we can start getting referrals from our clients, right?
Absolutely.
So that's
Absolutely.
How we scale and build our business. So talk to my listeners, Lorianne, about the importance of truly building that foundational connection that you are the expert, that the client always turns to you first and say, this situation come up, can you help me? Or do you know somebody who can? Because they trust you, right?
So even
if you can help them, that you want to be able to refer the proper person and you know that person's going to make you look good. Again, it just reestablishes you, again, a higher level of an expertise.
It does. It does. I think right from the start, the thing you need to do, well, once you're in and you have that first sale and you've had your easy ask for the first product or service you're doing for them is for you to keep your eyes open on what else, how else you can serve them and dropping some hints. You know, I saw, I was working with John the other day and Betty on the team and I noticed this. And if at any point you want to deal with that, I know I can help you with, and I have a bench or I have other people that can come in and help you with that. So you just leave it. But you plant seeds. You plant seeds. You're observant. You're there to help them, continue to helping them. Because what happens if you don't? They won't think of you as that problem solver for the next thing. They'll think of you as narrowly just doing what you do. It's about having conversations, isn't it, Connie? I mean, it's about having a further conversation. Just, hey, I just want you to know there's something our company does, and I just noticed it. And so when we're done with this, or if you want to start something like that now, just let me know. I'm just leaving with you. No obligation at this point, but I did notice, again, you're establishing expertise. You just show them a problem they may not be aware of, or they don't think it's important, or you can integrate it with your current service and product you're doing with them. You have to look at this systemically once you're in a company. You just have to.
And I think you build it for the client. And I know two things I want to comment on. The observation is critical. And I know if I'm talking to regionals after, and I just did it this week, it's so funny. No business for me. It was just the right thing to do. I had a gentleman in my class and he's just mm-hmm. real good, just real good.
Right.
Coachable. I think he's very coachable.
Yeah.
So I reached out to his immediate report, the market manager, and I said, you know, I just wanted, these are my five observations when mm-hmm. you're coaching him. These were things that I would coach him on. But I think you can groom him to get to that next level. And his immediate so the market manager sent it to his immediate manager, who I didn't know who he reported to immediately, but I knew who the market manager was, shared it, and they both responded, thank you so much for that feedback. We've really been working on it. We do think we concur with everything you're saying, but giving that little piece of insight is really helpful. So again, you partner with them. So that's number one. I'm not getting business out of it. It was the right thing to do. Plus, it helps
It was.
But it helps this young man because maybe they mm-hmm. don't see it. So I'm just a third party and innocent observer, right? The other thing, it's a shout out to one of my clients. Her name is Josephine. But when she came on, she was new to the company, and I was already working with this company for many years. So we had a meeting, and she said to me, I'd like to have a quarterly meeting with you, and I'd like observations, feedbacks, so we could continue to tweak the curriculum so that if we're doing something, maybe we don't need to do that anymore. Maybe we need to shift skills. Maybe we need to have somebody read a book. I don't know. It didn't have to be just about me and what I could do.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I offer that to all my new clients. I deal with corporate clients. Let's meet quarterly so we can share observations about things that you maybe should be doing that you don't do that could affect the bottom line for you. She was proactive in approaching me and saying, are you up for that? And I said, I always want to do that. Everybody doesn't want to do that with me, but sign me up. And I'll go so far as to say, she said, let's schedule it. And this was at the beginning of the year. We scheduled it for the year, four meetings. Now, we had to reschedule them. But we always meet quarterly because they're in our calendar. So it's little things like that that we can proactively, again, not so that, what business can I get? But how can I make sure I have their back so they're not missing anything? Because, you know, sometimes the executives and the leaders aren't in the day-to-day operations of things.
They're not. They can't see it because of what they're doing. Exactly. And they rely on other people. And so, Connie, what you're doing is just having a further expertise problem-solving conversation. With this woman, and it solidifies you whether you bring someone else into the work or make a referral for the next thing because it's not your expertise. You keep solidifying the what needs to happen and the why it needs to happen, and you're here to serve. Absolutely. And when you do the right thing, we talked about this before we got on, it pays out. It pays out eventually.
Always. I do a lot of free things for my clients because, and I'll just share a quick story. Many years ago when I first signed this client, they had another vendor who was doing something else with another part of the corporation, and they needed a letter, an introductory letter for their business development. And he wanted to charge him like $500 for a letter. So my can you imagine? My contact reached out to me, and she said, this is what we need, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. I said, I'm just real busy. Can you give me to the end of the week? Like, what's the time frame? Whenever you can get it to us. I said, just give it to me for the end of the week. Well, after I hung up with her, I started percolating, and I thought, you know what? This is going to take me 20 minutes. Boom.
Right.
I wrote this letter specifically for what they were looking for. I sent it to her, and I said, you know, it was just easier for me to do what I was thinking about it here, 20 minutes.
Right.
She said, I'm glad we don't pay you by the minute. LOL. But she said, how much do I owe you? So now I didn't know this other conversation had taken place. And I said, owe me for what? She says, well, for the letter. And I said, are you freaking kidding me? You asked me for a favor as a professional friend. I don't want anything for it. And then later on, as we became better acquainted, I'll say again, professional friendship. She shared with me that he wanted to charge. I was like, what? So
that's like lawyer fees.
Oh,
it's like
God.
Lawyer fees.
You know, don't nickel and dime your clients. It's just not cool, man. You want to help them out any way they can. Again, it just builds better value. And I didn't, again, Lorianne, I did not do it to say, oh, I'm going to do it for free. They'll like me better. It didn't even dawn on me. It was the right thing to do to help this very good client of mine. Again, that poverty mentality, guys, dangerous. And Lorianne is sharing, just give and you get so much more.
Right.
The last thing I want to talk about, we have maybe 5 minutes left, Lorianne.
Okay.
What are the sales types? Because I know you talk about this in the book. This book is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk to me about
Thank you. Yeah. So the first one, I kind of mentioned it already. It is the person that all they do is they're the connector. They just connect and they expect, which has got great possibilities.
Sure.
You build relationships, but the connector tends to not make as much money because they're waiting for their connections to come to them. So that's the first one. It's the most popular one because everyone wants to think they're building relationships. And as a marriage and family therapist, a psychotherapist, I understand that. You do need that first. But it goes further than that. Then the next sales type is someone that they operate more like a small agency, and they capture business how they can, and they actually never leave their computer, and they have very small sales. And this can be someone that's not even a tech person. It can be someone that's selling a product or thinks they have these low-level conversations on the internet, and they never get out. And that's the hardest one. That's the hardest one to actually train, to actually have conversation and have an easy ask. They're very stubborn usually because they think as well. They're introverted, and they think as long as they have their expertise, people will flock to them. Can't find someone that's not known and is not out there, not connecting, and yeah. And then we have the person that they're the kind of the person that's the queen and the king of networking, and they're always all over the place. And every time you see them, they've switched what they're selling, or they switched companies because the first thing didn't work. And it's not that it didn't work; they just never stick with it, and they don't develop the time and the expertise in. And you just never know who they are when they show up at the next networking event. And the last one is someone that has the connection, is a pretty good at sales, but is always willing to invest in themselves. And they eventually become are really good at what they do. So they know, but they're not sure where to go for the investment into themselves. They actually need a little help with, do I need some work psychologically? Do I need some work strategy-wise? Usually they have pretty good strategy, but what they don't have is that balance of how to have conversation, how to pick up the psychological cues. Not all of us, it's natural. So that's basically the four types, and they all need some work, but the one that's on the computer needs the most work.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, everybody thinks, oh, the internet, that's how I'm going to get my business. And I laugh all the time because...
Me too, Connie.
Yes, I'm on LinkedIn. Yes, I'm on Facebook. You know, happy birthday. When somebody gets a promotion, you know, I always send a little email. Hope you, enjoy your new adventure, whatever. You have to do all of those things to be present. But yes. I am not relying on that to get my business. People need to meet you. People need to know the essence of who you are. People need to know the value. Because time is a valuable commodity, right?
It is. Time and money. Those are the two things people want.
Yeah.
Freedom of money, so they don't have to work so hard, and freedom of time. The problem is, if you only have a relationship online, I'm not going to be one to give you $10,000, $100,000, $200,000 for whatever you do without meeting you.
Absolutely.
And that's the human to human contact that we have lost because of the internet. Now, I know some internet gurus going to tell us, oh, but if you use the psychological tools in how you write and how many emails you send, yes, they do work. They do. But I'm telling you, the richness of staying in business and continuing to be in business includes the face-to-face.
Absolutely. Palm to palm. We're still human.
Yep.
And we want to have that vibrational energy together, because you do feel whether you want to do business with someone or not. And everybody understands that, Lorianne, that's listening. We feel. We're humans. That's that emotional. Again, the psychological,
right.
It's all there. We're out of time.
Right.
One more, if you had to give one or two more tips, obviously buy the book, duh. But aside from
yes,
of course, buy the book. What would be tips that to intrigue people to say, wow, I really think I need to buy this book?
Oh, okay. So, no, the first tip is don't be afraid to go out there and have a connecting conversation, take it to the next level, and have it fail. It's okay, because here's what's going to happen. You'll know that your message sucked at that time. The clear and compelling message is important. I talk about this in the book. It's very important for someone to say, oh, I really want to have a further conversation with you. But if you go out there and have a connecting conversation and you see people roll their eyes or they don't engage with you, you know you need to work on your messaging. And that is good. Go work on your messaging, and when people say 50% of the time they want to engage with you, you've got your message down right.
Absolutely. Again, and but watch the body language. Like you said, rolling of the eyes, I cracked up. Somebody rolls the eyes at me, I go, excuse me, why did you? But I would say it to them, but I'm extroverted. Why did you roll your eyes at me? What did I say that affected you that way? Because again, if I'm getting someone to roll their eyes, I am clearly saying something wrong. I want to know what it is at that moment. Like, why are you rolling your eyes? Are you kidding me? Or the deer in headlights, giving too much information.
Know.
What'd you say?
Right. Most people don't want to know why they rolled their eyes. But even if you don't ask your question, at least know you missed the boat when they rolled their eyes.
Yeah. What?
Know that it's on you, not on them
now. That's right. And I love also when we started, you said, all the salespeople, we think it's about us. It's not about you.
Right.
It's all about the customer. We are the conduit of information to be the solution provider. It isn't about us. Really, it's all about the customer. And one more thing, and I know you talk about this in the book, is listening skills. And you said before, customer speaking, we're in listening mode. To just ask two questions and move to the solution is very dangerous. So the better you listen, the better your follow-up questions are that helps you dig in so you can provide a more complete solution. So I know that's an important skill, too.
It really is, too. And what I will say about that as we end is don't rush, like I said, to the end. But whatever they just said, ask your next question based on what they just said. Even if it feels redundant, they'll reveal something else. And whatever that next reveal is, ask your next question. It's the minutia of asking questions and really listening and actually asking the next one and then the next one. It's not the jump.
Yeah. And take notes because your memory isn't as good as your face. Right?
No. And follow through. And follow through.
Yeah. And follow through. That's it. I love it. Everybody, I really hope that if you're in sales or you're leading a sales division or leading people. And here's the funny thing, Lorianne, I know even if you're a back office person, you have an element to support the sales team. You have to understand the essence of that psychological component because you might be able to give the sales team the content for them to become an expert, let's say, in that piece of it. So I really feel like within an organizational chart, the org chart, everybody has a role towards sales. I don't care what your role is, but you all have a role towards sales.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So again, this book, The Easy Ask, and understanding that.
Because if it was just strategy, we'd all be closing. It's not. That's why the psychology piece is so important.
That's why I love having you on because of your, your therapist back being a therapist and a psychotherapist and having that background speaks to the human component. And I don't know about you. We're not dealing with aliens yet. We're dealing with humans. So let's learn how to communicate most effectively. So buy the book, The Easy Ask. Make more money having simple sales conversations. Go out there and buy it. Go to Lorianne's website. It's LorianneReeves.com. And Lori is LORIANNE Reeves, REEVES.com. If you have questions for Lorianne or you'd like some insight or information or maybe you want to work with her, reach out to her at Lorianne@LorianneReeves.com and you will respond to those emails directly. And guys, for me, if you are interested in this, really the whole conversation today is about how we communicate. My partner and I, my Wisdom Decoded business, if you go to wisdomdecoded.com, the free communication style assessment, our CSA, communication style assessment, is available. Gives you a report. We just updated the reports. We're in the process of updating the book. There's a companion book that you can get. Really helps you understand what are my communication strengths? What am I natural at? And what do I have those blind spots? The blind spots, and that's what Lorianne and I talked about today. Blind spots is where we can dig in and really make some magic happen. So again, wisdomdecoded.com. Reach out to Lorianne at LorianneReeves.com. I will post all of Lorianne's information so that you can click and find her, be able to have those conversations with her. Lorianne, thank you again. As always, a delight. Tremendous insight and always a pleasure. My favorite topic is sales. So again, we always have a little fun talking about sales. So
we do.
So much
we do.
For being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, a real pleasure. And I wish you tons of success with the book.
Thank you.
I think everybody should read it. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change. Again, no matter what that change is for you, maybe changing your sales practice based on our conversation today, it's easier than you think, guys. So please buy the book. Reach out to Lorianne. Reach out to me. You have resources that are able to help you navigate this world of change and make it easier than you often think. Thank you, Lorianne. Thank you all for joining us this week. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful week, an inspired week, and go out and make more sales. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.